Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our Pardes podcast on Sefer Yonah. This is Michael Hatton in Jerusalem. Last time, we read of Yonah being thrown overboard by the sailors in order to save their lives and in order to fulfill his death wish. As a result of that, the sea becomes calm, and the sailors offer sacrifice and make vows to God as an expression of their great devotion to him. In the meantime, chapter 2 begins with God appointing a fish, Vayiman Hashem Dag Gadol Livloa et Yonah. God appointed a great fish to swallow Yonah, and Yonah remained in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. This image is, of course, probably the most famous image from Sefer Yonah. If anyone knows anything about the book, it will be this. But I just want to begin by pointing out that a dug in Hebrew is a fish and not a whale. A whale in Hebrew in the Tanakh is known as a Leviathan. If it happens to be a sea monster of one sort or another, it might be a tanin, but a dug is very much a fish, and of course, whales and fish are two different things. There is much to consider in this moment. The commentaries obviously were interested in exploring the possibility of being swallowed by a fish and surviving intact for 3 days and three nights. Most of them come to the simple conclusion that this is only possible if we are willing to admit divine, miraculous intervention and the upsetting of natural laws. And therefore, many of the commentaries, especially the traditional medieval ones, will consider the episode of Yonah being swallowed by a fish as a miracle. There is one exception to this, one of the medieval commentaries who does mention the possibility that what is recorded in chapter 2 as Yonah being swallowed by a fish is actually a prophetic vision rather than an event in material world. But as I said, this is a minority view, certainly among the traditional commentaries and the medievals and rabbinic literature. Clearly, modern commentaries take this more symbolically and less literally. I should just point out, for those that are interested in investigating further, there is, of course, the apocryphal tale of the 19th century whaler James Bartley, who is purported to have been swallowed by a sperm whale and to have survived the ordeal after the whale was captured and cut open, but there is much discussion as to the veracity of the tale. In any case, I would argue the main point of the verse is to indicate that Jonah's death wish will not be fulfilled. Recall that Jonah had asked to be thrown overboard ostensibly in order to save the sailors from the storm, but also to guarantee his own death and his escape from the mission. So as much as he wants to die, God wants him to complete that mission, and therefore God will appoint Vayiman, which means to designate or to appoint an agent that will effectively rescue Jonah from the depths such that Jonah will be able to ultimately complete the mission that God has given him. We should note, of course, the text reports that Jonah is in the belly of the fish for 3 days and for three nights. This time period of 3 days and three nights, or just 3 days, is a motif in the Hebrew Bible. It comes up in many situations. I'll just mention a few. If you remember the moment of the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, Abraham and Yitzchak journey for 3 days. On the third day, Abraham lifts up his eyes and sees the place, Mount Moriah, from the distance. That's in Genesis chapter 22. Later on, Joseph, disguised as the viceroy of Egypt, will imprison his brothers for 3 days before releasing them. the people of Israel will stand at Sinai and prepare for 3 days in Exodus chapter 19 before receiving the Torah. Esther, of course, will declare a 3-day fast through Mordechai before daring to approach Ahasuerus without an official invitation in order to arrange the survival of her people, etc., etc., etc. Basically, what all of these moments have in common is that a 3-day interval in the Hebrew Bible is often a period of reflection and introspection and anticipation for some sort of an overwhelming event which will take place at the culmination of the period. So you might say, Jonah unfortunately finds himself in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, but that is the, as it were, traditional, conventional period of time, which is designated in the Hebrew Bible for an individual or for a people to come to some sort of a realization and an awareness that perhaps they did not have beforehand. So the good news is that Jonah is saved from death at the depths of the sea. The bad news is that he has to now suffer the ordeal of being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Interestingly enough, a midrashic aside, which is almost comical, verse number 1 reports that Jonah was in the belly of the fish, Hebrew, bime'e hadag, for 3 days and 3 nights. And the next verse has Jonah praying to God, his Lord, mime'e hadaga, from the belly of the fish, except that in verse 2, strictly speaking, I could read daga as the feminine version. So verse number 1 implies that the fish was a male. Verse number 2 implies that the fish was a female. And the Midrash will fill in the gap and explain the contradiction by saying that Jonah was initially swallowed by a male fish, but the suffering was not enough to encourage him to cry out to God in prayer, and therefore the male fish spits him out, a female fish full of eggs, having very little room in her belly, now swallows him, and Jonah will finally utter his prayer out of the belly of the daga, that is to say the female fish. Now obviously, this is a midrashic reading, but what's important for our purposes to note is that a careful reader, and the Midrash is a very careful reader, will notice the nuances and the slight changes and variations that occur during the course of the story and will somehow attempt to explain them. Now, the explanation to us might seem unlikely or fantastical, but for our purposes, it becomes a very important lesson in paying attention to textual details as we make our way through a biblical text. In any case, it's only at this moment that Jonah will finally utter a prayer. Recall that earlier in chapter 1, as the ship was going down and the captain called upon him to pray to his God, the only thing recorded of Jonah at that moment is silence. Finally now, after the 3-day period, call it introspection, call it anticipation, call it reflection, Jonah is ready to finally turn to Hashem Elokav, God his Lord, and to pray to him. His Lord. And to pray. Jonah's heartfelt prayer will take up the remainder of chapter 2. In our next podcast, we're going to look at it a little more carefully. I would say for now, the overarching theme is the idea that he has experienced near death and that God has miraculously intervened to save him from that fate. And therefore, Jonah is now ready to express his gratitude and to cry out to God in song. Essentially, that is the arc of the prayer. Next time we'll look at it a little more closely and see how it is broken down into specific themes and images and units. Thank you.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.